نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. All praise is due to Allah, we praise Him abundantly. And we seek refuge with Allah from the evil within our souls and the consequences of our bad deeds. Verily, whomsoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray, and whomsoever Allah allows to go astray, because they do not want any guidance, then no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone, having no partners. And I bear witness and testify that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his slave and his messenger. We ask Allah to exalt His mention. We ask Allah to raise His ranks. We ask Allah to bless Him, His wives, His companions, and all those who follow them on their path of righteousness until the day of recompense. As to what follows, all you who have believed, be mindful of Allah the way He deserves it, and do not die except in the state of submission as Muslims. The most truthful speech is the Quran, the book of Allah. And the best guidance and way of life is that of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the worst of all affairs, can you imagine how many evil affairs are taking place in the world as we speak right now? From all types of dhulm, oppression, all types of violations, all types of rape, all types of murder. You know how evil these things are? What's even more evil than that is the matters which we introduce into this deen of ours. Every newly introduced matter is an innovation, and every innovation will lead astray. And whatever is astray will wind up in the hellfire. It is not coincidental that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will give this introduction in each one of his sermons. And before the Aqd of Nikah, a marital contract, and in every big occasion, more often than not, he will give this introduction with variance in the weddings. Because nothing made the Jews what they are today except innovations. And nothing made the Christians what they are today except innovations. How did Jesus go from being the messenger of God into being the Son of God, into being God, into being one of the three in the Holy Trinity, in the Triune God? And we can enlist hundreds of ideologies that the Christians all over the world hold, which never make sense to any one of them anyways. But it's the easy thing to do. It's the easy belief to have. Someone died for my sins, I'm ready to go to paradise. That's the easy way out. You get a ticket, someone pays for the fine. You will always speed. As long as your company tells you, no matter how many tickets you get, when you speed, we will pay for them, you will continue to speed. Once you know it's coming out of your pocket, you will be watching for these cameras. Human being mentality. It is innovations which led the people so far away from the right path that their abode will be the hellfire eternally. This is what we need to internalize. Say, okay, made a mistake, it's an error in judgment. No, my friend, you're talking about abiding eternally in the hellfire because of these choices, because of this belief, because of diverting away
from the straight path. The tax one has to pay cannot be described in a khutbah. The heat of the hellfire, the pain of the hellfire, the punishment of the hellfire, it needs days of explanation because it's all over the Quran and the Sunnah. But that is not the topic regardless. The topic is us understanding where are the traps on that path. On the path to the life to come, there are two fundamental ways the devil will lead us astray. And these are known as ash-shahawat and ash-shubuhat. Shahawat from shahwa, desire. And that could be a positive term and it could be a negative term depending on the connotation or the context. It has a negative connotation by default. Desires. Desires of the things which Allah made forbidden. Otherwise you may have lawful desires towards your wife. No one's going to blame you. In fact, it is encouraged in Islam. But the evil desires, any type of desires that are not stipulated as permissible in the deen, then this is one of the ways the shaitan will trap the son of Adam. So people indulge in sin and they continue to indulge in sin until they sink into the darknesses of the sin, then they can no longer see the light. And we are guilty of that in so many ways. Each one of us has his own share. We ask Allah to forgive us and overlook our mistakes. But believe it or not, this trap of the shaitan is not as dangerous or severe as the other one. Because in this one, a person knows. The one who's committing a sin, he knows deep inside this is a sin. So the likeliness of that person repenting is high. A person may repent, even down the line. Or Allah might overlook that mistake and forgive that slave if Allah wills. Or some good deeds will erase the bad deeds. Or some calamities will befall him that will emancipate for these sins. For these sins. And so on and so forth. The issue is in ash-shubuhat. The plural of the term shubuha. From ishtibah, yashtabih. It has to do with things resembling others. Some sort of ambiguity. Lack of clarity. You don't know this person looks like that person. There's a shabah between them. There's a resemblance or likeness between them. And shubuhat is doubts in this context. Doubts. Where what you believe is not sound. Your belief and the fundamentals of this religion has been shook by the shaitan, casting doubt into the minds of the believers. This is the disaster. Because without proper knowledge, a person will never make it out. Knowledge is the only way we can bypass these traps of the shaitan when it comes to doubt. How does he cast doubts? In millions of ways. From the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until now, until the end of time, the shaitan is daily, continuously innovating new ways to confuse us in regards to our belief. Also known as aqidah. So he takes on different forms and different approaches. And new messages and ideologies are spread and are presented to us in the most eloquent of manners to shake that very fundamental which should never be shaken. And the shaitan is not stupid in everything. He is surely stupid in many things. When Allah told him to prostrate to Adam and he refused on the foundation that ana khayrun min, I am better than Adam, khalaqtani min narin wa khalaqtahu min teen, and you made Adam from clay, so he assumed that fire was superior to clay. Based on what? Nothing. Allah didn't reveal to him that fire is superior to clay for him to reject prostration on this premise. As a result, he was exiled from paradise and he was doomed forever, and he will abide in the hellfire eternally along with his followers. Why? Because of that stupid judgment. But he is spiteful. He wasn't going to give up. So he made that promise to Allah on that day. Allow me to misguide them, to present my skills to them, to deviate them from the path. And Allah allowed it to happen by His wisdom, so that there can be a differentiation between the good and the bad, and between the truth and the falsehood. Otherwise, no one would stand out if everything was the same. These opposites make the people stand out. How do you know a brave man from a cowardly man? When an event takes place where the courageous will act accordingly and the cowardly will act accordingly. Otherwise, both may be tough and buff. Both have muscles. But one will chicken out and one will go in. That's how you differentiate. So it was the wisdom of Allah that will happen. So in this regard, shaitan is slick. And he finds ways. One of these ways is he never tells you straightforward, almost never, that this is haram, let's go do it. He will use the methodology of istidraj. Gradual, step by step. It's always, almost always like that. It begins step by step. And then he drags you in. And he drags you in. And we continue to accept and give in until we find ourselves in a situation where we look back and say, how did I get here? Had he told us from the beginning, let's go to this destination, we would say, no, ma'ad Allah. But when he takes us step by step, then we wonder how it happened. And today, in this century, the Islamic century, 1436 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the biggest plot of the shaitan against the masses of Muslims is in this westernized, modernized, watered down version of Islam. That's the new plot. And the victims are many. And the hundreds of thousands and the millions who have fallen into following a version of Islam very much like the Christians changed Christianity. Very much like Paul changed the teachings of Jesus. What the Christians believe today is not what Jesus believes. It's what Paul believed. And Paul changed everything. He changed circumcision. He changed the consumption of pig. He changed the belief. He added, deleted, altered, distorted. Until now, Christians have hundreds of thousands of belief systems. None of them resemble each other. It's all by Paul. And who was Paul? He was Saul. He was a Jew who used to persecute the Christians. But he realized that you cannot beat them, so join them. So he claimed that Jesus came to him on his way to Damascus. And the story is known for those who are involved in dawah to Christians. Suddenly, this man comes and changes the deen, changes the religion of Jesus. The irony is, until now, this figure in Christianity is a big figure. The one who ruined Christianity is actually the most exalted among them. This is how the shaitan deceived them so successfully. And today, you see a Christian, you bring the Bible, whichever version of the Bible he believes in, and you say, look, this is what Jesus said. He will not believe it. He will still go against it, based on the church,
based on the Pope, based on I don't know what, based on this priest. He will not go with it. You tell him, Jesus said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." He will tell you, Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God. How could you understand this? What is wrong with you? I'll tell you what's wrong with them. It's the shaitan using the shubuhat against them. And today, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesied, you will follow the way of the people of the book. You shall follow them a hand's width, an arm's length. If they go this much, you will go this much. If they go this much, you will go this much. Even if they enter the hole of a lizard, you will enter the hole of a lizard behind them. So we have gay Muslims now. A gay imam in America. A gay imam. A homosexual imam. What happened to the people of Lut? Which Quran are you reading? Which Sunnah are you understanding? Woman imam. Women being the imam of the masjid, leading people in salah. Women giving lectures to men. Oh, Jews and the Christians, not all of them are kuffar. Oh, aqeedah, it's not in the Quran. Oh, wait a second. This sounds familiar. This sounds familiar. This is exactly how the people are deviated. We have to read between the lines and understand the gravity of the situation. This is not blowing things out of proportion. This is based on historical understanding of the works of the shaitan throughout the nations until today. And this is why the scholars, the true scholars of Islam, always say, begin with the usul. You must begin with the usul, the fundamentals, the fundamentals. If you don't have a foundation, your construction will fall apart. You can make the most beautiful paintings, the most beautiful fan, the most beautiful everything. If you don't have a wall, it will fall. You hang it on some flimsy line, it will fall. A year later, 2 years later, 10 years later, it shall fall. But you establish it on a foundation made from the strongest material. Then even if an earthquake were to come and shake everything off, the foundation will remain there bi-idhnillah, and you can build again upon it. So what we need to understand is that as English-speaking Muslims, we have a calamity facing us. This calamity has to do with learning our religion and from which source. And in this modern day, social media, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, everything is everywhere. You have access to anything, anytime. And it becomes difficult to educate the masses. And this is why random people pop up on the scene with some good to offer and a lot of disasters as well. And the shaitan deceives the masses by telling them, see the good. Focus on the good. Don't look at the evil. And we say, this will never work. If you focus on the good and you forget the evil will eventually sneak up upon you. And then you will lose all the good. You will lose it. This is exactly what happened with Christians again. Why did Paul change the religions? So he can get the Gentiles. Because the message of Jesus was only for the lost sheep of Bani Israel. The children, it wasn't for everybody. So how did Paul try to win over followers? He saw whatever things were existing in those people's religion, which was primarily idolatry. He tried to incorporate that with the message of Jesus. Where do you think Christmas came from? The 25th of December has absolutely nothing to do with the birthday of Jesus. But this was a day which was already celebrated among the idolaters who worshipped the sun. So conveniently said, let's celebrate with them and then we can give it a Christian front and Christian face. and he did this with everything else. So while once you can say, why don't you focus on the excellent efforts of Mr. Paul, who was trying to bring people to Jesus, we say yes, but if you turn away from the method in which it's happening, look what happened to Christians now. That didn't benefit them. We would love and hope and pray and wish that things were that simple. We would want them to be simple. This is black, this is white, there's no gray, so it's easy, just make a decision. It is not like that. It is not like that. So today, as an English-speaking Muslim, you have to be on the lookout. You have to guard yourselves. Where do I learn this religion from? Where do I begin, especially for the new Muslims? The new Muslims who face a lot of trials when they convert or revert from their old religion to Islam. Because more often than not, they become public enemy number one in their household, among their families, and their societies, sometimes at work. They are attacked by family members. They are questioned, interrogated by family members. Why did you leave Christianity? Why did you become a Muslim? What does Jesus say? They start asking them difficult questions. Don't play with the bottle piece. And if they don't know, they will go astray. That's why many of them come to Islam and leave Islam. They leave Islam, which is worse than not being a Muslim to begin with. That's apostasy. That's a whole other grave sin in Islam. To leave and to enter then leave. It's better than never entering. It's worse than never entering. It's worse than never entering the deen. So when we oversimplify to the new Muslim the matter of the religion, thinking we're doing him a favor, we're actually helping the shaitan destroy him down the line. We're helping the shaitan destroy him down the line. You say to a new Muslim, you don't need anything. Just read the Quran. Read the Quran, brother, and the Quran shall guide you. We say, this was not the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran, as Allah described in the Quran, that fihi ayatun muhkamatun hunna ummul kitab. In the Quran are ayat which are entirely clear. Entirely clear. They are the mother of the book. There's no area for confusion. Then Allah Himself told us, وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٍ. Remember the word. And other ayat are doubtful. Or they're open to multiple interpretations in the Quran. Allah warned us. So you cannot say that if you just read the Quran only, you will figure it out, because that would mean there would be no need for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah could have revealed the book in its entirety, revealed by him, and kept somewhere in the world where no human being can change an altar, and that would have been enough. But Allah did not do that. He revealed the Quran over 23 years through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that it may be understood and applied in the lives of human beings. And therefore, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا مُعَاذُ ibn Jabal. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, one of the senior scholars of the Sahaba, he knew the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he sent him to Yemen to give da'wah to the people of Yemen, he didn't tell him, you know the Quran, then you will figure it out. No! He detailed the approach in which Mu'adh had to follow. He told them the hierarchy of da'wah. He taught them the fundamentals with which you begin. He said, you are going to people of the book. First, he made them aware of the background of the people he's given da'wah to. So you will speak to them accordingly. The Jews are not like the Buddhists, and the Christians are not like the Hindus, And you cannot give them da'wah the same. You have to modify your speech according to the audience. He said, let the first thing that you call them to is shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anni rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The first thing you should invite them to is to bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that I am the messenger of Allah. That's how you begin the da'wah. Because in the Quran, there are ayat about fighting. In the Quran, there are ayat about zakah. There are ayat about hajj. You don't go quote something that is irrelevant to the audience. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give da'wah to the rulers at his time, do you think he sent them a copy of the Quran? Did he ever make the Sahaba write whatever had been revealed up to that point of the Quran and say, give it to the king of the Caesar? No. He used to cite one ayah. He used to cite one ayah in the letter which the Sahaba would write for him, because he couldn't write sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the ayah was, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم ألا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله فإن تولوا فقولوا اشهدوا بأننا مسلمون. Say, O people of the book, come to a common ground between us. What is this common ground? Because there's nothing else that will make us common. That we worship none but Allah, and that we associate none in worship with Him, and that we don't take from amongst each other deities besides Allah. So if they turn away, tell them that we are Muslims. We will not follow your way. This was the ayah he would cite. And this is an evidence that you don't just merely give a non-Muslim a Quran, say, may Allah guide you, see you later. He can open Surah At-Tawbah and then read the ayat. So kill them wherever you find them. Tfaddal ya akhi. Let them understand now, with the media associating Islam with terrorism, and with Muslims misrepresenting Islam, then he reads an ayah in the Quran which says, kill them wherever you find them. What Islam is he going to follow? What understanding is he going to have? He will throw away the book and say, I will stay a Christian until I die. Because that's not how da'wah is given. You don't just give him a copy of the Quran. You have to follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which Allah detailed in the Quran. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Say, this is my way. I call to Allah upon knowledge and insight, I and all those who follow me. This is the way. The way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in giving da'wah. What was his way? What was his way? I'll give you one example before we go to the second khutbah, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with his companions. A man came to him and at some point said to him, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشِئْتْ. Whatever Allah wills and you will, O Messenger of Allah. If you look at the apparent meaning of the words, you may say there's no problem with it. There are many ayatas in the Quran who say, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Obey Allah and His Messenger. So there's that preposition and between the two, Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this person may be a new Muslim. And nowadays we say it's okay. You know, you have to be kind to the people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became angry at the expression of the man, and he said to him with anger, أَجَعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ نِدًا. Are you making me equal with Allah? Are you making me a rival to Allah? Rather say, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ. Whatever Allah alone wills. I got nothing to do with the Mashiach. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. You don't will until Allah wills. This is the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether you like it or not. When it came to the matter of aqidah, there was no being easy and lenient. He was firm, and I can cite for you tens of evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah, how he used to be firm when anyone would violate the matters of the belief. Today, in the Western world, this is the least important topic, the most oversimplified, and the one which is overlooked. in the name of softening the hearts of the people. And that is not the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد,
the notion that surrounds the word aqidah today, some of you may be aware, depending on how much exposure you have to the da'wah scene, but today we face a new dilemma of the word aqidah that supposedly does not exist in the Quran, and therefore it is of no importance. You don't need to study it, you don't need to know it, because it's not in the Quran. Of course, this can be answered from multiple angles. The first of which is that there's nothing in the Quran which necessitates the presence of a word for you to believe in it. You as a Muslim believe in the Dajjal, the false Messiah, which will come at the end of time, as narrated by the Prophet ﷺ in tens of authentic traditions. However, you go through the whole Quran, you will not find the word Dajjal. Does that mean now that you don't believe in the Dajjal because it's not in the Quran? No. It doesn't mean that. Secondly, the word Aqidah, in one of its derivatives, is in the Quran. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, when Allah spoke about the oath, He said, وَلَكِ يُعَخِذُكُمْ بِمَا عَقَدْتُمُ الْأَيْمَانِ. He holds you accountable for the oath you have, which you are firmly believing in. And that's what the word aqidah comes from. It's ala wazn fa'ila or maf'ula, like marbuta, something which has been tied. The actual linguistic meaning is a knot. When you tie a knot, aqidah is what you believe in, and you tie a knot around it so that you don't ever shake it, you don't ever have any doubts about it. And a hadith in Darimi, a hadith in Hassan, the hadith of Zayd ibn Thabit, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also used this term. He said, there isn't a Muslim, لا يعتقد قلب مسلم على ثلاثة خصال. No heart of a believer is tied around these three traits, except that Allah will admit him to Jannah. The first is being sincere to Allah. The second is advising the rulers in a manner which is in agreement with the Sunnah. And thirdly, sticking to the Jama'ah of the Muslims. لا يعتقدوا. عقيدة, عقدة, يعتقدوا, اعتقد, اعتقاد. All of these are derivatives of the same word, which comes in the Quran and the Sunnah. It doesn't have to be spelled out for you the way you want it. You don't tell Allah which term to use, akhi. Allah decides and we accept. And as a concept, it is merely knowing what to believe. Because iman, belief, is one thing, and then firmly adhering to it is that level above. And aqidah is that level above. Because someone may have iman, and he may nullify this iman with an act which nullifies it. If somebody brought the statue of Jesus somewhere, and you finish praying taraweeh and witr, and you spend 2 hours doing dua al-qunut and crying your eyeballs out, and then afterwards you made one sajda for the statue of Jesus, we say you are going to Jahannam al-Iyadu Billah. Because that one act nullifies this iman of yours. Whereas someone who has aqidah can never possibly bow or make sujood or prostrate to anyone but Allah. His aqidah is what keeps him firm. Because he has established faith and he has tied a knot around it. Aqidah is not open for discussion. It's not open for opinions. It is not gray. It is black and white. You believe in Allah and His names and attributes. You believe in His messengers.
You believe in the scriptures. You believe in the angels. You believe in the last day. You believe in the preordainment of Allah. Al-khayr wa-shar, the good and the evil thereof. You believe in revelation. You believe in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You believe that the Sahaba were superior to the world. You believe in the Khilafah of Abu Bakr, and the Khilafah of Umar, and the Khilafah of Uthman, and the Khilafah of Ali. This is part of the Aqeedah. How many people today have corrupted their Aqeedah by calling out and dismissing the authority of Abu Bakr and Umar? This is a flaw in Aqeedah which will render a person non-Muslim, even if he kept saying La ilaha illallah until he dies. Aqeedah is what you begin with, and Aqeedah is what you die with. And our righteous predecessors spent hundreds and thousands of hours investing into this concept, which is established in the Quran and the Sunnah. And today we divert the people away from it by mocking it, criticizing it, belittling it, and making it seem like it's some sort of phobia that the people have, some disease that we have. Let me oversimplify it for you. The Quran is all you need. The Quran and the Sunnah and the understanding of the righteous predecessors of the Quran and the Sunnah is all that you need. And any message which contradicts that is a message of deviation, even if the person calling to it is the most handsome of people, the most eloquent of people, and the nicest of people. Any da'wah which does not highlight the Quran and the Sunnah with the understanding of the righteous predecessors is a da'wah of deviance. Because the Prophet ﷺ already called that out. And he said that this Ummah will divide into 73 sects. 73 groups will exist in this religion. All of them will go to the hellfire, except one. The Sahaba were shocked. How could this be? Only one? Which one is it, O Messenger of Allah? He said, whoever is upon what I am today and my companions, this is the one who will be saved. And that means what they believed and how they worshipped Allah. We can all agree that we will never reach their level in how they worshipped Allah. We can never be like Abu Bakr, never be like Umar. We can never reach that in regards to their ibadah. But we can believe what they believed. We can believe what they believed. And so we believe what they believed. And this is an open market for every Muslim until the Day of Judgment. Believe in what they believed and strive to emulate them in their worship. You have been guaranteed paradise by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And wallahi, wa billahi, wa tallahi, any da'wah other than this will end up in the hellfire. Nothing will bring this ummah back on its feet except what brought the Sahaba on their feet. And what brought the Sahaba on their feet was 13 years of da'wah to Tawheed. 13 years the Prophet ﷺ calling him to worship Allah alone. Before alcohol became prohibited, before salah was established, before zakah was detailed, before fighting was allowed. It was first knowing who Allah is. Isn't it not that the Prophet ﷺ in one of the battles was with his companions, and some of them were new Muslims. When they crossed the river, there was a tree, and the disbelievers back then, they had a tree in which they would hang their weapons on, and they believed this was a blessing. They saw this as a barakah, hanging the weapons on this tree. It will make their weapons super powerful, anything of the sort, any superstitious beliefs which Muslims don't have. So when they crossed, they said, O Messenger of Allah, اجعل لنا ذوات أنواط, make us a tree. We want a tree like they have a tree. And the main objective of the tree is to hang our weapons. And this is my second evidence to prove to you the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when it came to this matter. He said, Allahu Akbar. When the Messenger of Allah says Allahu Akbar, your heart shivers. and trembles. He said, you have said to me what the children of Israel said to Musa when they crossed the river and they saw people worshipping an idol. And they said to Musa, اجعل لنا آلهة, give us an idol like they have an idol. They believed in Allah, but they wanted some physical resemblance so that they feel their worship like the Buddhists claim today, so they can connect with it. He compared their request of a tree to the request of Bani Israel to have another God with Allah. This was the da'wah of the Prophet ﷺ. That's how we train the Sahaba. That's why Umar, when he wanted to kiss the black stone of the Kaaba, he said, Wallahi, Wallahi, I know, you're nothing but a stone. You're nothing but a stone, you don't benefit, nor do you harm. And had I not seen the Messenger of Allah kiss you, I will not kiss you. I'm merely following the Sunnah. He showed us what he believed. But today people go see barakah from everything in the haram. Everything and everyone. Muslims seeking barakah from all types of moving objects. Because they don't believe what Umar believed. This is the message which we have to understand today. So my brothers in Islam, be very careful of the plot. This plot can sometimes be in your face by the enemies of Islam that we can all see on daily basis, mashallah. On daily basis, Islam is under attack globally. And there are ones, unfortunately, which come from within. Intentionally or unintentionally, we are not here to judge intentions. How often has a good intention rendered the deed unacceptable? You can steal an apple to give sadaqah, but you stole an apple, akhi, and Allah will not accept. Good intention. I only stole the apple to give sadaqah. I don't want to eat it. I don't want to deprive the owner from his wealth. But I saw this miskeen and I wanted to share this apple with this miskeen. We say Allah will not accept this deed because it is based on falsehood. Even though you have good intentions, barakallahu feek. So this khutbah is not to judge anyone's intention. But you have to realize that the attack is external and internal. And the internal attack in this new Islam other than the one that the Salaf followed. Very easy, very loving, very flexible, very easy going. Everything is okay, everything goes, everyone's going to Jannah. Men and women can mix. This whole watered down Western Islam. This is what we see today on the scene. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ. If you follow that path, you will eventually go astray. We will eventually go astray. Adhere to the way of the righteous predecessors, you will never lose. Adhere to the way of the Salaf, you will never lose. This requires studying Aqeedah first. Alhamdulillah, ample information and knowledge is available online and offline and everywhere. Feel free to ask me what sources, so I can share them with you on a personal level. But be careful and protect yourselves and your children from this wave that is coming towards us here. It's definitely affected the people in the Western world. But because of the media and the internet, it is reaching us over here. And next thing you know, you start hearing people calling you to something other than what we know. And it becomes overwhelming. So we need to protect ourselves from that before we go astray. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم يا مصرف القلوب اصرف قلوبنا على طاعتك ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصل اللهم وسلم على النبي المختار